For another 11 p.m. nightcap. So, how's everybody doing today? Hope you're all doing alright. I'm gonna chill out and have a cigar and just talk to y'all for a little bit. So, let's go ahead and do that. So, I think I got my ventilation thing all set up correctly. Hey, got somebody in there. Hope you're doing all right. So, as you can see, this is a little bit of a different setup than our normal setup. Because my basement area has a bunch of stuff in it from this party that I had. So, as I've said in the past, doing the show is still very important to me. So, we're going to make sure we continue to do a stream and we'll hang out and chat and chill a little bit and talk about it. Bill says, oh, hey, weirdness. What's weirdness? It's not weird. Boston Actress, good to see you. Boston Actress, how you doing? Krista, NH Girl fans, good to see you as well. Jaggedy Gaming says, Cohiba, Drew Estate. But Cohiba is definitely good. I have my these earbuds in. I hope the sound is okay and you're not picking up too much of the ventilation system that's in here. I hope that's working all right. But hello, everyone. Bill says that it sounds good. Good. I was a little worried about that, but little hum in the background, but it's fine. Yeah, I can't tell if this is actually using these earbuds for sound or if it's still using the microphone just on the phone. Well, how was everybody's weekend? Jaggedy Gaming, how are you? Thermite, how are you? Boston Actress? Krista? Wild Bill? How's everybody doing tonight? And Black Cat, how are you doing? As you can see, we are in a different setup. This is my front room cigar lounge. Thermite is not the greatest. Thermite, what's going down, dude? But we do have a cigar, and we do have some of that 1888 rum. So, oh, you're working night shift on a Sunday. Yeah, I could see why that wouldn't be so great. Bill made bacon jam and went to the Jacked Brunch and left after 10 minutes. What's the Jacked Brunch? You got to adjust this a little bit. Here, I think that's better. This is a Drew Estate. Why can't I think of the an Undercrown. This is a Drew Estate Undercrown. Very good smoke. Man, my ventilation system in here seems to be on point. Jaggedy Gaming finished some D&D. Got some nice Kentucky bourbon and is chillaxing. What sort of campaign are you playing or characters were you using? It's a Twitter manosphere thingamabob Jack Murphy, you think, Rand. It wasn't your thing. You got all dressed up, too. Well, that's sad. That kind of sucks. Black Cat hasn't had bacon jam. Neither have I, honestly, but it sounds fantastic. You feel like I'm in a tanning bed. No, that is not a tanning bed. That is my... I'm going to swing this to see if I can get it without causing a disaster. That is my that's my last drive-in neon sign. Whee! So I hope you're able to see that. I hope it swung over enough. Oh, and the Underdark. Underdark campaigns can be brutal, but a lot of fun. Krista's giving a tier one sub. Oh, Monkey Nips. Gives a subscription to Monkey Nips. Krista, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. Cheers. Hexblade, not hexadecimal. Damn you, autocorrect. But it's good to see you all. So I had an all-day horror fest party yesterday that ran from 9 in the morning until right around 1 o'clock-ish. I think the last person left at like 1:15 or something like that. So I needed a little bit of a chill and detox day today. So I cleaned up most of the yucky stuff yesterday, meaning the leftover pizza boxes, snack containers, got all that stuff cleaned up. But I don't have my, I don't have the rest of the furniture into everything sorted the way I would normally do. So I have a lot of stuff in the back room where I normally do my streaming. And I still have like my computer desk and stuff that I still have to, that I still have to move over. I'll do that tomorrow morning, but I was feeling pretty crusty today. I tell you, after doing that for I don't know how many years, it's still a heck of a lot of fun. And we had one of the greatest screams from one of the attendees. She got just absolutely terrified, and it was hilarious because she kept whispering, "I'm so scared, I'm so scared," and she was doing like a little feetsy dance, like tapping her feet on the floor. And you know, otherwise it's just a lot of fun, like drinking and snacks. I had just piles of snacks, but what an absolute blast. And you know, it's a lot of work, and as the years go on, like, yeah, I don't want to say people arrive a little bit later and leave a little bit earlier, but the movie that made her... Yeah, she was doing human tippy-taps. Literally was doing tippy-taps with her feet. And at one point, got up and, like, went over and, like, hit... So I had these little LED lights up on this couch. And she kind of went and, like, hid by the LED lights. The movie that made her scream was Sinister, starring Ethan Hawke. And I think for as far as demonic, creepy, like, that movie, I should think, is a really spectacular combination of some found footage creepiness with a mystery, with a ghost story. I just think that movie in particular is really well done. I think I watched the second movie, which was okay, but then I kind of stopped. But the first movie in particular, I think, has some great atmosphere. And there's a couple of spots that have some creepiness that, man, yeah, she just literally screamed. Like a classic blood-curdling, full-blown terror scream. It was so fucking good. So, Boston Actress, did you stream yesterday? Is that why you and Krista are going back? Did you have a stream session or something, Boston Actress? And if you did, was that like a Twitter space? Or did you do it on YouTube or something? Like, what was going on there? Jaggedy Gaming is a classic terror kind of guy. What do you mean with, like, yeah, you're talking like the Vincent Price Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee type stuff. Ah, I got it on YouTube. Oh, stuff like The Exorcist. YouTube, Friday night. Not that old. I'm going to say a thing, and this isn't meant to be like harping on you, but the two of you talking about her stream, you know, I got like chastised / banned from a different stream for doing that. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh, not that old. Yeah, dude, I love the original Phantasm. The original Phantasm is a series of movies that I hope they never, ever remake. Because if they do that, they would so totally fuck it up. Like, that is just the coolest, like, atmosphere and everything else to it. I love it. And it gets a little bit, I would say, off the reservation about the time of Phantasm 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, more like 7 or something now. But I particularly like the first two. And the second movie, I think, is hilarious. Because if you watch the second movie, the second movie, you can tell they kind of ripped off some of what's the word for it? Machinations or whatever for that show Supernatural. Like, they totally kind of just stole that directly from Phantasm 2, which makes me laugh. Yeah, I mean, I get, like, at some point, hey, you know, going back to the talking about the stream thing, but, like, you're all streamers, so there's a little bit of a, hey, how are you, you know, how was your show? But, like, that particular instance, I didn't even mention the thing. I was just like, oh, my cam was acting up during a stream I was doing, and I got, like, fucking yelled at. I'll name names, by the way, because I don't even give a shit, but that was Ash Said Hi. That was her moderator. She's got some moderators in there who are fucking real pieces of shit. You like the Rob Zombie Halloween? See, that's where we would sort of part paths, because I couldn't stand that. But you know, everybody always asks me when we talk about these, when I talk about this movie party, they're always like, oh, well, what movies are you going to watch? And I'm like, I don't know. Because the way that that works is the first person that comes through the door gets to pick the first movie. Now, I usually have a curated list of, I don't know, I would say 15 to 20 movies that are like on deck. And the first person that comes gets to pick the first movie. And then when that's over, everybody rolls a 20-sided dice. If you roll a 1, you must do a shot and you lose. Otherwise, high scores win. If you get a 20, regardless, you either get to, there's a roll-off against people who get a 20. But even if you lose the roll-off, you still get usually a little prize. So the movies are sort of chosen by the participants. So I like to try to keep a mix of some classic stuff, some newer stuff, some weird stuff. I try to throw in a couple of, I don't want to say like funny, comedy, goofy stuff. You know, I don't like to keep it all splatterfest, gorehound shit. Because some people don't like that. So hey, the idea there is, look, everybody has a chance to pick a thing that you want to watch. So there's a little something to lighten it up. So the lighten it up movie yesterday was a movie called Shocking Dark. Yeah, dude, Natty 20, you get Natty 20, you're in it to win it. Chris says someone that you know who is a major Halloween fiend watched the new Halloween movie and was disappointed by it. Yeah, I've heard that this very last new one that just came out was a little disappointing, but I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Which to me that's disappointing because I really liked the 2018 installment quite a bit. But the movie that lightened it up is called Shocking Dark, and what's hilarious about that is that it was I think directed and partially written by Bruno Mattei, who's an Italian guy, and the movie is a blatant ripoff of Aliens. So much so that there are some sequences in that movie that are literally almost a scene-by-scene recreation. Now, given that it's an Italian recreation of American movie, if you're thinking to yourself, I bet there's parts of that that don't make any sense and are very confusing, you'd be correct. Because there's parts of it where people are like, what is happening? I'm like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And they have like, dialogue in there where they're trying to like talk tough. And like the Vasquez clone at one point says to one of these Italian guys, says like, hey, what do you greasers eat that makes your shit smell so bad? Like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, special elite squad is named Mega Force. We're like, oh my god, we're laughing so hard. And my one buddy who's there, Aliens is like his absolute favorite movie of all time. And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, I can't believe this. How did they get away with this? And I was like, well, how they got away with it was they, I think, released it calling it Terminator 2 in Italy. And if you want to watch something that is so hilariously just bizarre, over the top, inept, check out Shocking Dark. Clearly low budget. There's like spots where, there's one spot where this like guy gets thrown over a railing, and you can clearly tell they only had enough footage for one shot, because as the dummy is falling, it hits its head and knocks the head off. But then the guy lands on the ground below and gets up and starts moving around. And we're like, hey, didn't that knock that guy's head off? My God, it's so funny. American Werewolf in London. I believe we did that last year. Yeah, that's one of my absolute favorites. And the thing is I've had some people who have come some years and not some other years, and because it is literally all day, I've had some movies that got shown in the morning that people didn't catch, so that then maybe a year, 2 years later, they'll be like, oh, I wanted to see that. I'm like, that's fine. Like, we can totally do repeats. Like, we've had a couple movies that we've shown more than once. And yeah, it's an absolute blast. And some of the classics people hadn't seen, were like, you know what? I don't think I ever had a chance to see this. And American Werewolf in London was one of them. I think a lot of people that were there, strangely enough, were like, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen this. I'm like, well, you're kind of missing out. How does one get an invite? Well, you have to live sort of close to me, number one. Otherwise, hey, stop on by. It's usually the last Saturday of October, unless that weekend has actual Halloween right by that weekend. So because this next weekend, Halloween is actually Sunday, like, I'm not going to do that on Saturday. That's just too much chaos and whatever for one weekend, so. But yeah, this Shocking Dark movie, there's another scene that completely steals the, you know, my mother said that there aren't any monsters, but there are, aren't they? Like, it's complete stolen dialogue. Like, literally, and like, there's this little girl who's totally supposed to be Newt. They dress up the one woman to totally look like Ripley. I mean, if you watch this movie, the amount of little detail that they stole is actually incredible. It's actually really amazing how much of it they actually ripped off. Krista, have you seen any of the Halloween movies? Did you like any of those? So, we watched, what all did we watch? I'm drawing a blank because it was such a long day. What was ripped off? This movie, Shocking Dark, is literally a ripoff of Aliens. with about three handfuls of the Terminator thrown in. And it's such a hilariously blatant ripoff. I'm surprised they didn't just get totally, completely sued. But they kind of cheated by fucking around with the titles a little bit. And instead of being set in outer space, it's set underneath Venice. Because apparently there has been a post-apocalyptic event where seaweed has caused the oxygen in the ocean to die. Like, what? Does this even make any sense? Boston actress. One of her favorites. A census taker once tried to test me. Oh, that's a good... A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. You've seen all of them, but the new one, you like them. Yeah, I like that too. It's I really think that the 2018 one, they did a great job. The first original two are my favorites, and then that 2018 movie. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And then at some point, Bill, you'll love this. At some point, this guy's like hacking in. And he hacks this computer, and he's like, well, it's incredible. It's a computer-engineered substance that's an enzyme that's kind of like DNA and perfectly combines cybernetics with... Like, did you just like take every buzzword you could think of and throw it in a basket and make us word salad? What the fuck are you fucking talking about? Get kind of sauced and watch this movie. It's fucking hilarious. Boston actress, thank you so much. On point as usual. Hello, Clarice. So yeah, we did that. We did obviously that movie Sinister. That was this year's like true spooky movie. That was pretty cool. Need to get more than just Sausage. That is a great party movie if you watch it with a group of people, because it's so unbelievably disjointed and goofy. Everybody will be laughing their ass off. It's actually a... So my friend Rob, who loves Aliens, he goes, this movie is like a 2 out of 10 in terms of... He's like, this is a 2 out of 10 in terms of being like coherent. But this is a 9.5 out of 10 in entertainment value. And that's about as close as to a review for this that I could give. Now, it's not as bad as Birdemic. Like, some of the production, like, what is awesome about those movies that are funny is they aren't trying to make a piece of shit. And this is what's very important. They're not trying to make something bad. Like, that movie actually, I think, did a fair amount of money over in Italy. Like, they tried to make a serious movie, and because they were just stealing stuff, it's comical. Because I've seen the Aliens and Terminator movies so many times, you're like, this is somebody who saw all this but didn't quite understand some of what they were talking about, so that's why it's funny. But like, it's good. Like, they did try to make a piece of crap. If you do Rocky Horror Picture Show, make sure you do it outside. Yeah, I don't know if that's quite a horror fest movie, but that makes sense. The last horror movie party that Bill went to was Frankenhooker and Deadly Friend, which kind of tells you what that was, or when that was. Dude, Frankenhooker is legit. Frank Henenlotter, that's classic shit. Reminds you of zombie strippers. No, Frankenhooker is a little more dark exploitation. But in terms of a movie, it's actually a lot of like prostitution level sleaze. But like, there's some pretty good gore and makeup effects in that. Try again. Zombie strippers. What about Zombievers? Zombievers is also really fucking funny. Like, that is really good. A really good party movie. But, so we did Sinister. We did this shocking dark movie. What else did I watch? Hold on. I gotta say a thing that's gonna be, that might come off as anathema. Or heresy. But I gotta say it. The first movie that we watched was the OG Children of the Corn. What a pile of shit that movie is. That movie is fucking terrible. Terrible. I don't know why it's revered as a classic. It's fucking awful. See, that's the thing. When I was little, it scared the shit out of me. But now watching it as an adult, I'm like, dude, this movie is fucking terrible. This is crap. Shit, what do you eventually see of the monster? About six frames of some horribly drawn, it looks like somebody took a red Sharpie and drew a monster face over a cloud on top of a cornfield. Children of the Corn, you mean the entirety of the fucking Midwest? Eh. Dude, Children of the Corn is bad. It's so bad. I mean, I get that a lot of people love it. Part of me would say, what about it is good? Because rewatching it straight, since, so like, that was the first movie they watched. So, I don't know, maybe it was because I was relatively sober at that point. But I watched it in the morning, and I'm like, this is dopey. Like, number one, it's just terrible in a good way. I mean, like, you know, it isn't that the production is bad. I remember there being more violence and gore, which there really isn't a lot of. But B, you have this adult, and, like, he acts like the biggest pussy. And there's sequences where you're like, okay, look, I get, like, don't hit kids, but, like, you watch these kids, like, kill people, and the dude's running around, and he doesn't even, like, grab any weapons. Not even a stick or a rock. I think it's like near the end of the movie where he finally grabs this little pipe. And I'm like, dude, it's just... Ugh. No, it wasn't doing it for me. So I think that's one of those movies that has way dropped down in the rankings for me. Jeepers Creepers is one of your favorites. The original OG Jeepers Creepers, when that came out, to me, was one of the biggest breaths of fresh air in terms of a horror movie, because it has a real monster. You don't really get too much of an explanation about it. The gore effects are cool. It's creepy, creepy cool. I actually even kind of enjoyed the second movie, although you're not supposed to like those movies now, because what, the director got like arrested for like sexual abuse of children or some shit. Summer Camp. I don't remember Summer Camp as much as Sleepaway Camp. But I like the camper slashers. Black Cat comments, I never really cared about the monster. Yeah, it's bad, but I liked it. You went into watching it thinking it would be dopey. You first saw it about 5 years ago. So, as much as it's kind of corny and goofball over the top, I actually think Children of the Corn 3 is the better movie. The Urban Harvest. Mostly just because at least that has some more violence. Yeah, Sleepaway Camp with Angela. That's a classic. And I'm surprised that that movie hasn't gotten just absolutely ripped apart and banned, given the current climate of things. I can't tell you why, because that would be a super spoiler. But if you're curious as to why, I would recommend you watch it and watch the whole thing all the way to the end, and then you will know why. But yeah, we watched, let's see, Children of the Corn. We did Shocking Dark. We did Sinister. We did this movie, Werewolves Within. And that was another one. I don't know why Werewolves Within seemed to get bad reviews. I thought that was absolutely fun. It's a horror comedy. It doesn't try too hard to be funny. I thought that was a blast. And we watched that as sort of a palate cleanser after Sinister, because some of the people were like super spooked out. But I thought that movie was a whole hell of a lot of fun. Some good acting by the cast of characters. It's very wild goofball. And so that movie I thought was a whole hell of a lot of fun. Krista isn't really into many horror movies, but some are okay. I mean, yeah, it's like... I've been a junkie for horror stuff ever since I was little. So I try to watch a wide breadth of films. And so I think Werewolves Within was the newest movie that we watched. But as Black Cat has just said, afterwards, the last movie that I watched was the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, with Kevin McCarthy, which, you know, that is spectacular. And it's very tight and very well done. And so in terms of like the old school horror movies, I think that one still holds up pretty solid. Although I would argue that the one they did in, what, 78? I think the 78 version is still the best version. Growing up, you loved Chucky, but you just recently watched the newest one and you were afraid to sleep. When I was younger, I never got the Chucky movies. I guess that's just one of those things. Like, yeah, I remember the movie Dolls, like that kind of creeped me out. But for some reason, Chucky just didn't, just never did it for me. Krista, where would you rate this new one versus the old ones? Jaggedy Gaming comments. Hack and slash can be fun, but the more cerebral horror movies are where it's at for you. You know, I think you might enjoy this movie Sinister if you haven't seen it. And the other thing about Sinister, so Boston actress, I'm interested in your perspective on this as well. So one of the things about Sinister that in particular I find to be really good is Ethan Hawke being, to me, a spectacular actor. There's a scene where he's arguing with his wife, and there's like some really good realistic like yelling where they're having a fight. And the acting between Ethan Hawke and Vincent D'Onofrio, who's also in it, that caliber of acting, I feel like where a lot of horror movies, especially now, tend to suffer a little bit is because I feel like actors now, a lot of cases, think they're above being in a horror movie. You know, you have some folks who are in some horror movies, again, Invasion of the Body Snatchers 78, Leonard Nimoy, I can't remember the female actress's name, Donald Sutherland, like Jeff Goldblum, and you have these people who are great actors in these movies, which is why I think some of them are so good, and I think that's what makes some of the schlocky movies or some of the movies that could be much better where they suffer is because they don't get necessarily the caliber of acting. Jaggedy Gaming comments, Ethan Hawke is very underrated, in my opinion. I 1000% agree. Yeah, he gets crazy, and when he's yelling at her, like, I mean, it's like true rage, anger, like frustration, just really mad. And man, it really adds to the movie. The scenes where he's watching these, more or less, these movies with his families getting killed, and the look on his face, especially as he starts to really kind of lose it a little bit. God, it's spectacular. And so Ethan Hawke just nails it in that movie, which is why I think it comes off so well done. Krista doesn't know she spent most of the movie hiding under her blanket. Aww. I will say the Chucky doll in the new Chucky, actually, I think looks way creepier than the original. And I think it's because of the big eyes and everything on it. Juliet Rylance. Great acting. So we did that. Why can I not remember what else we've watched? God, that's one of those movies or one of those days where it's like, yeah, because you're doing so much drinking and you're up so long, by the end of the day, I'm just spent, exhausted. But a lot of fun. And I try to always keep some new stuff. I always try to keep some new stuff in the hopper that maybe people haven't seen. Slither. We also watched Slither. Slither is another one that I think that both works really, really well as a good horror movie, a good creature invasion, you know, some great special effects and makeup and horror, but also a level of comedy that doesn't interfere and doesn't make it a funny horror movie. And some of it is laughing at the absurdity of the... Yes, and Crawl. Crawl was good, too. Maybe that's why it scared you more, Krista, because of the doll. Hellraiser is also a no-go. I think the first... It gets a little out of control in Hellraiser 3, but I actually think the first three Hellraiser movies are pretty fucking legit. I actually think 2 might be my favorite. But yeah, Slither. Slither is a blast. If you've never seen Slither, absolutely check Slither out. That is really fun. Michael Rooker should have gotten some sort of award for playing the main creature in that movie. Great performances by Nathan Fillion. It's just another case of and Greg Henry. Greg Henry is also just a super underrated actor. That guy, I think, should win some Lifetime Achievement Award for playing, like, the perfect pieces of shit, like this loud mouth, just so between Greg Henry, Nathan Fillion, Michael Rooker, absolutely phenomenal acting again in that movie. And as we're saying, I think a lot of these horror movies where they suffer is a lot of them can't get a caliber of acting to do some of these roles, especially some of the supporting roles. And I don't mean to keep going back to Sinister, but Vincent D'Onofrio in Sinister plays this, like, researcher. And you only ever see him over, like, these Zoom calls. But it's so well done. It's so well done. Boston actress is your favorite actress? I agree. Trying to think if and what else we watched yesterday. I'm drawing a blank. I'd have to go back and look at my watch list, but a heck of a lot of fun. And I really recommend, if you're going to do a party like that, what really does kind of spice things up a little bit is allowing the participants to sort of roll the dice and allow the top roller to pick the next flick. That way then you get a little bit of some, you know, it's not just one person's preference. You worked with Vincent D'Onofrio? How was he? Pinhead is the shiz. You opened the box. We came. We have such sights to show you. every now and then when people are like, who would win in a fight? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I kind of feel like Pinhead would destroy most of them because he's more of like a force of nature in a way. Incredible actor. He's amazing. Vincent D'Onofrio is a spectacular actor. And the recent performance by him that absolutely blew me away and stunned me was him as Kingpin in that Daredevil series where he has some fight sequences. And man, just incredible. He did the same scene three different ways and he learned so much from him. Oh, that's awesome. I'd love to hear more about that. Can you talk about like what scene and how he did it differently? But yeah, fantastic. You know, I do these parties twice. I do these parties twice a year. And I do a horror one that's in October, near the end of October. And then I do another one in April that is classified as Spring into Action, which is right around the spring. So that's usually near to the end of April, and that's usually celebrating more of the action, exploitation sort of genre of films. You saw a clip of that. It makes you want to watch that whole series on the strength of Wilson Fisk. You should. The Daredevil show, I think, especially season two, I think it was season two. I actually think you get more invested and interested in all the other characters other than Daredevil. Like, I was super into basically Wilson Fisk and Frank Castle. And I'm like, come on, I don't care about the Daredevil. Just go back to these other guys. The topic, Ethan Hawke did a movie recently called The Kid. It was directed by Vincent D'Onofrio. Very well done. Ooh. Isn't it all back and forth tie-ins between the other DC series? Kind of. A little bit. But that was before shit went off the rails and the shows got just fucking totally bonkers. Like, Arrow is the show that shits the bed. But, like, I really recommend the Daredevils. The Daredevil show. Boston actress says it was a bar scene and he was upset. The first time he walked in, pretty much Debbie Downer. The second time he walked in, he upped his game and kicked over a stool. The third time he came in, he put his head down and started crying. The guy is just amazing. Very versatile actor. I mean, geez, go all the way back to him as fucking Gomer Pyle from Full Metal Jacket. And going from being this very vulnerable, soft sort of guy to this complete cold maniac. And talk about a variety of roles that he's played from, what was it, where he's on the crime show. I mean, geez, he plays a super villain. He was fucking Thor in Adventures in Babysitting. Do you remember that? Everybody's like, oh, Thor. I'm like, no, the best Thor was Vincent D'Onofrio in Adventures in Babysitting. Changed my mind. You won't. In a world of shit. Hey, Joker. In terms of horror, that sequence of Joker walking into that bathroom at night and the sound and everything else, like a lot of the monsters and supernatural stuff, I would say, like, people are like, oh, I want a real scary movie. I'm like, well, that's hard for me because a lot of this doesn't really scare me. I find it more interesting. But that sequence is one of the scariest sequences, in my opinion, ever, because it's fucking real. And if you're Joker and you walked in on that, what in the fuck would you do? And Matthew Modine, too. Just even the go easy, man. Like, because you got to figure from his end, there's a little bit of some guilt on this dude does to start just killing everybody in here. Like, isn't like he's my buddy. I wasn't really nice to him so much. So, and that is just a chilling sequence between the sound and everything else and the lighting. What a masterstroke. Really pissed about that accident on set that killed a few members. I guess you haven't learned anything from what happened to Sarah. Are you talking about the recent Alec Baldwin thing with the gun firing blanks? Well, or Brandon Lee. Geez, if you think about all of the action movies and everything else that have come out since, and losing Brandon Lee right when Brandon Lee was right on his true, like, the guy is starting to become a superstar, and then just game over. Killed the director of photography. Yep. Yeah, Alec Baldwin is in some hot water for killing the DP. I still haven't heard all of the actual events that surrounded that, but I don't know if he was fooling around or what. But like, I'm torn on that because the responsible firearms guy part of me says, anytime anybody hands you anything that fires a projectile, you're responsible for that. But on the same token, you go to some of these sets and you're like, who's the armorer on this piece of shit that lets this stuff happen? How do you let that happen? You know, and I don't know if they get lax about it or if they get rushed or what. But Jesus, what a fucking tragedy. Yeah, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And then all the mistakes happen because the safety checks aren't made. See, and that's why, to me, that doesn't necessarily come through as an accident. It comes through more as negligence. Like, that comes to me as more being negligent. And a lot of times when people say there was an accidental shooting, like, it's not an accidental shooting, it was a negligent shooting. And that's because as somebody who's used and been around and had firearms for so long, like, the minute you stop paying attention to that stuff is the minute you get somebody hurt. And that's just negligence because all of the training that you're supposed to get when you use those things instructs you that that is first and foremost. Black Cat says, don't point. The armorer was working on her first film. Ooh, because they always use real, but somebody didn't do the job and make sure it had blanks. It's very sad armor. No, I think it, I don't know if it didn't have blanks or not, but people often mistakenly think that a blank is necessarily just like a cap gun. But yeah, you can still have either a paper wadding or something or whatever that may come out of the end of it. But like, man, dangerous. I didn't know that was the armorer's first film, but if it is, you have to imagine that person's career is over, which is, you know, not to say that that's less important than somebody getting killed, but what a just fucking mess. And if you go back and you look at some of the, so going back to the horror movie thing, if you want to talk about negligence and rushing to the nth degree, they had that series on Shudder called Cursed Films. And outside of the curse aspect of a lot of these movies, which really it just talks more or less about troubled production, the was that Twilight Zone, the movie with John Landis, and the tragedy shooting, the one sequence where the actor and these two children get killed in a helicopter accident. That is one of the most harrowing and awful things that I've ever heard about an accident on set. And the guys that were talking about it, even this far down the line, were basically brought to tears and getting choked up about it. Just absolutely fucking awful. And like Boston Actress is saying, it's money. Shit gets rushed. They don't take the time. They don't put the safety checks in place. People try to hurry up and they wait and they're waiting for this. And then they're agitated and they're sleep deprived. And then just, man, a terrible disaster befalls. Vic Morrow. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the paper wadding from a blank. And there was some other movie where a guy put one to his head and pulled the trigger and killed himself. Because, again, they thought it was like a cap gun, and they didn't know that there was a paper wadding in it, and basically committed suicide. They're dangerous. Like, and we had one of the recent movies that we were going to make. We were going to have a firearm. And I said, look, I want to be the armorer on this. And I'm going to make sure all the stuff is locked and locked up and locked in my truck. In a case, locked up with a trigger lock. And on the scenes where that happens, other than myself and the actor, that's the only person that touches it. And it will be hand inspected by me and double checked by you as the director on every sequence where that comes out. Because I refuse to have any sort of negligence create a tragedy. And that's the way it's got to be. It's the way it's got to be. I mean, and even outside of just guns, again, look at this helicopter accident. Look at some movies where people have had, oh, they thought it was this prop sword, and they didn't realize that it's like the wrong, and somebody gets like their fucking fingers nearly cut off or gets fucking wounded or hurt really bad. Like, that can be super dangerous shit. Like, you can't sleep on that. Especially if you're making a horror or action film or something. Like, man. I gotta read this fast because it's hard for me to get the chat. But Boston Actor says, directors are under a lot of pressure, so they push, push, push. You've seen a lot of, actually, you've seen someone's hair catch on fire because you got too close to one of the camera lights. When you have new people on set, you have to go over a safety check because people don't know, like that poor girl didn't realize her hair could catch on fire that easily. It's all right, Boston Actress, I got you. I know what you're saying. I accounted for your Bostonian talking. I mean, fire, especially any fire stunts or fire use. I mean, look at Kane Hodder. If you ever want to read a great like autobiography, read Kane Hodder's book. If you ever want to hear an example of horrendous medical care, read about what he went through after getting third-degree burns. It choked me up. That book actually choked me up. Absolutely great read, but talk about, again, tragedies with a lot of these stunts and special effects. Like, you take that for granted. This setup, by the way, that I have going here is probably what I'm going to do when I go to Arizona. So I hope this is okay. Again, I need to experiment and figure out if this is using my headset or if it's using the speaker. I can't quite tell. Well, hair products, or if they're wearing a wig, or yeah, hairspray or whatever, right? Like, you're basically a walking torch. And think about all of the synthetic materials and everything that's on there. I mean, you're basically a walking accelerant at that point. All right, the sound is okay. Good. Because on that one, I'm trying to not take luggage. I'm just going to take a carry bag and a laptop bag. So I don't want to bring too many electronics. So I'll have my tablet, I'll have this phone, probably this headset, obviously a couple of chargers and that sort of stuff. But I still want to try and do the nightcaps while I'm over there. So we're going to be using this phone setup, which was the original setup that I had. So speaking of, wait a minute, you think it's using the headphones? Okay, good. I hope so. I'll have to listen to this after the fact and tell. One way I think I'll be able to tell is if there's echo, a lot of echo or not. Sad thing. So I went today and went to the motorcycle dealership and put in some part work and finished some stuff. And my motorcycle is going to go away. November 4th, that will be put up for the winter, so I'm very sad. Very sad. I'll be counting the days until I can ride again, so that's going to be put away. I figured by the time I get back from Arizona, that'll be the middle of November. And geez, even this next week, it looks like there's going to be a lot of rain. I'm like, man, and that's the one thing that'll kill you. I have weather. I have clothing that I can do for cold. Black Cat's favorite thing, my chaps. Those chaps do such a good job of keeping your legs warm. So it isn't even necessarily the cold weather that would in that regard bother me enough. It's wet and having it just be rain. So like, man, if it's going to be wet and dreary like this, I guess it's time to put it away. So I'm a little sad. Well, yeah, because if your hair catches on fire like that and it gets to a point where, like, it starts really burning, I mean, that could totally burn your scalp and burn your face. And again, if you had something like, let's just say you're wearing an appliance and that's got any sort of synthetic anything in it, that's going to drip and burn through your skin. The rain and cold do suck. See, everybody says assless chaps. All chaps are assless. Yes, they're assless because they're chaps. That's chaps. They're not leather pants. As a matter of fact, that's what makes them nice, because your crotch and your butt still get some airflow, and it just protects your legs that are exposed to most of the wind or whatever. But they really do work. I'm telling you, if you're either a bike rider, I don't know, even if you're just walking around outside and you want something to keep the wind off of you, try some chaps. I'm a big fan. And so I have those chaps. I have this coat that's like an armored jacket with a windbreaker liner, like a rainproof liner. And man, if you layer up, that thing does a great job. And then I got some gauntlet gloves. So really, I'm fairly warm, you know, but it's the wet. You just can't do it. It's rain. Like, that just sucks. You need chaps? I'm surprised you don't have a pair of chaps. I'm surprised you don't just wear chaps all the time. Black chaps and poppy. By the way, Jaggedy Gaming does a lot of streaming on here. So, if someone can do a shout out for Jaggedy Gaming, just do !! S-O space and then at Jaggedy Gaming. Jaggedy Gaming, you playing anything new or different lately? Anything fun? Hmm. I think jogging pants should get the same respect as leather pants. What do you mean? You need to add chaps to your daily repertoire? I agree. I have a feeling that even when it's like windy, if I go for a walk, I'm going to wear them because you can just wear... Like right now, I have these Adidas Climacool pants. But dude, if you could wear these Climacool pants and the chaps, and it would be fine. I mean, you can wear them with anything. But what do you mean about the... I'm still curious. What do you mean about the jogging pants getting the respect as leather pants? Are you talking about, like, Climacool, like gym pants? They make my ass look fantastic, I'll tell you what. It makes my ass look like a fucking $1 million. Cold, rainy days are way better than snow. Although, I want some snow this year because I want to try this truck in the snow. This last winter, we really didn't get a whole lot of it. But I would rather have cold and rain or thunderstorms than snow any day. Thank you for that, Krista. I appreciate that. Still playing some World of Warships. In a world totally populated by warships, one man tests his mettle against a sea of destruction. Tune in next week for Jaggedy Gaming as he puts his crew against the rest of the fleet of the world of warships. Oh boy. Well, the cigar is getting low. I have a little bit left of this drink. I don't know what time this is for the clock, but when the cigar ends here, I'm going to wrap this up. Need to get that on a drop. World of Warships. I'm doing another trailer read for that Widow's Son book. So I have some reads to do for that. I might just try to see if I can do... I really want to use my good studio, but I might just try to take this phone down there and do the earphones. Definitely the earphones? Okay, good. I was worried about that because I'm like, man, I hope they're not getting this echo and a huge amount of this fan noise. You love jogging pants, but guys dig tight pants. Yeah, but jogging pants can be kind of tight pants. I'm telling you, these Climacool pants, these Climacool pants are great, and they're not baggy, but it's not like wearing flat spandex. Boss Actors, maybe we need a picture of you in your jogging pants. In a world of water, warships rule. Tune in for World of Warships. Oh, thank you, Krista. All right, 3 minutes past. This cigar is almost done. Starting to get a little bit of fire tongue. But this setup is legit. And I got my Chase Lounge in here now. So I got this Chase Lounge setup. So man, I have this setup in here. It's just a perfect... I can have cigars in here, whatever, basically all winter. I probably just need to bring in a little bit of a heater so it doesn't get too cold. But that little electric fireplace that I bought, that thing is fucking awesome. Man, is that thing nice. Warms up the room. It's got a nice fire glow to it. Part of me thinks I may buy another one and just put it in here. I mean, why have a regular heater when you have that? It's fucking great. Just to end the argument, PJs for the win. See, but my PJs are just these track pants. So that is my PJs. These are my PJs. I have these linen, like, lounge pants. But Otherwise, I don't really wear PJs because I sleep naked, so. Jaggedy Gaming is going to get his beauty sleep for tomorrow's stream. Take care, everyone, and good night. Jaggedy Gaming, thanks so much for stopping by and taking part of the chat. Really appreciate that. Get yourself some sleep, brother, and we will talk to you again soon. Boston Actress likes baggy. See, I hate baggy clothes. I feel like I'm wearing 100 pounds of clothing. It just gets all sweaty. Jaggedy Gaming dropping 50 bits. Thank you so much for that, man. I really appreciate that. Cheers to you. Thank you. A 2XL or 3XL hoodie. Best programming thing ever. I need to get a new hoodie. I got rid of my last hoodie because it shrank. And with the upper back and shoulders, it wasn't fitting me right. And it kept drawing the sleeves up so it looked like Frankenstein. So I got to get a new one. I need to get a new big baggy hoodie to just wear for around the house like that. Although I wish they had ones that were like that, that were otherwise like that, just didn't have the hood. But, like, I don't like those, like, I don't know, dad jacket looking things. I can't stand those. I'm like, can I get a hoodie? I guess I could just get a hoodie and cut the hood off. Because then when you sit back like this, it's all bunched up. Krista lives in hoodies, so what does she know? Well, you know hoodies because you live in them. You're a hoodie master. You're a hoodie champion. Yeah, I need to get a new hoodie. Need to get a new hoodie just for like a overshirt, sweatshirt. I am addicted to these tank tops, but obviously they're not gonna be warm for when the weather gets colder. So I need to, if anyone has some good hoodie suggestions, send them along. I'm looking for some new hoodies. The last hoodie that I got was the 10-year hoodie from Flint and Tinder, which those things are about the best constructed hoodies you could ever get. But I don't necessarily know if I need one that's that expensive. I think I just need a large one like that to lounge around the house. That it wouldn't be a hoodie if you cut it off. I know. But I just like the rest of the style and the fit, especially the ones that you can zip up the front. Are you guys pullover hoodies or are you full front zip-up hoodies? Bus Actress is always cold. You're a girl, so of course you're always cold. Always cold. I, on the other hand, am always overheating and sweating profusely. See, like, I don't really get cold anymore other than my feet and my hands. When I was trying to do this party setup, it was like 50 degrees outside. And I was wearing cargo pants and a tank top. And I had sweat dripping off my head. Zipper only. The two you won from Dean are pullovers. So you'll wear them if you're gaming and it's cold. That's fair. The pullover ones, I think, like, also do good if you're going to work out in them. And what I see a lot of guys do at the gym is they cut it right above the elbow. They cut it right above the elbow, and then they cut the neckline down a little bit and use it as a second layer over, like, a base layer. So you like the pullovers. Interesting. You're wearing a Tampa, Florida hoodie. You got $20 for a hoodie is a fucking steal. See, I think I like the zipper ones because if I start to overheat, I can just unzip the front and kind of like open it a little bit and get like some vent. But like I can't do that with the pullover ones. But what I like about the pullover ones is I like when they have the full kangaroo pouch pocket. 1995 Walmart one is just fine. I'm going to have to look around. I'm going to have to look around and see what's out there. Oh, by the way, you want to see something? I want to show you a thing. These, I have decided, are the best house slippers slash shoes. Uggs. Uggs for men. See that? Absolutely fucking love these things. They're slip-ons. They have this merino, like, shearling sort of interior. And because they're not tall and don't have all the frilly stuff at the top, this sole is incredible, is incredibly comfortable. And because I was getting the issue where my toes were getting cold, these things are so warm and so comfortable. I'm a fan. And I feel like, see, Bill, I know you're doing that face. But see, I used to think of Uggs like I thought of Crocs. And until I got a pair and wore them for myself, like, I think that a lot of the times when the girls wear those Uggs and then wear them with the super tight leggings, to me, that's not a good look. But if you're going to wear those Uggs and you're going to wear them with a worn-in pair of jeans and like a cozy shirt, I actually think they kind of look okay. I think it's just that they typically buy them and pair them where they have these giant, chunky-looking boots and then wear them with fucking Lululemon yoga pants. And I'm like, no. So much better than Crocs. I gotta be honest. I'm really digging them. I've used these now. I'm trying to break them in a little bit. I'm just using them as my house shoes. But because it's like a leather, like calf leather, they breathe. And this lining is sort of anti-sweat, anti-microbial, given the way that merino wool is. So, like, you don't really have to wear them with socks, and they don't smell. They're super warm. They're super comfortable. Like, dude, I'm fucking loving them. Bill, I'm telling you, try a pair. Try a pair, dude. Get the real Uggs. The ones that were originally... So, Uggs, no, they're not. They were originally men's shoes. They were designed for surfers who would go out in the surf, and when they came in, their feet would be freezing. And so they wanted a shoe that they could wear on the beach that wouldn't get sand all over in the shoe and that would keep their feet warm. And so this Australian company designed these boots, Uggs, and for whatever reason, they just got majorly co-opted by girls as a fashion shoe. But like, look, Crocs used to be the same thing. Every time I used to see them worn, it was like, every nurse that I knew suddenly was like, oh, Crocs. Oh, those are fucking girl shoes. Until I started, like, dude, you want to talk about, like, fashion around here? The fashion around here is often dictated by fucking Detroit, the dudes from Detroit. I see more and more dudes wearing Crocs. And they wear them with everything. And I've started to see dudes wearing, like, these Ugg boots. It's just like wearing the Timberlands, like dudes wearing Timberlands with like fucking track pants. You've never once worn Lululemon, but you're guilty of wearing leggings with boots. Boston actress loves Crocs. AKA Jesus joggers. No, Jesus joggers are Chacos. Those are Jesus cruisers because they got the toe loop. And I loved those Chacos. They just weren't helping my back at all. But those Chacos were incredibly badass. Again, surprisingly comfortable and chunky. And I could totally see going hiking in those. The Sherpas that were with us in Arizona, that's all they wore. He's like, dude, once you get used to these, you'll never wear a boot again. You'll never wear a boot again. In terms of breathability and control, You know, they're like, you don't have to worry about sweating problems anymore, and they're sturdy enough. You can wear them over pretty much any terrain. It's like, no shit. Like, I went from horror movies to shoes. It's burning my fingers a little bit, but we're almost done. Yeah, like the knee high, like the big croc, like the big Uggs, like the ones, yeah, they wear like these knee high ones with the big frilly thing on the top, and then they wear them with leggings. I'm like, no. All right, I'm gonna take one more drag off this cigar. And that's the end of that. And we're gonna go ahead and finish this. I don't know if any of them or Boston actress or actually I think Chris, are you Chris? I don't think you're, I don't know if you're a mod. Boston actress, if you can. Let's go ahead and see if we can raid someone. So if you can you type forward slash raid space and then see if DS virus is around? Do DS virus. So that's it. The drink is over. And as we say at the end of all of these shows, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. Make sure you get yourself some rest. We got another week coming up. So I will try to get my regular setup back up and going. But it's nice to know that I have this set up in here and it does sort of work. So as the winter time goes through, we do these sort of cigar and chill episodes. I'm glad that the audio and everything else works okay. So I'm going to try to leave this set up the way that it's set up in here. So that way then it just kind of works fine. So that is going to do it. Have a great night, day, y'all. Much love, hugs, prayers, XOXOXO. Take care of yourselves out there, seriously and truly, okay? Good night, everybody. All right, I think we'll skip the raid then for today. Boston actor's phone is dying. I don't think I can even do the chat while I'm broadcasting. I think it's all fucked up. So that's gonna do it. Take care, everybody out there. Love you. We will see you again tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern. For another nightcap. See ya!